Welcome to Mind and Movement, getting smart about how you move. I'm Hazel. Thanks so much for joining me for another Move Note. Today, the book we are discussing is Walking, One Step at a Time by Erling Kagge. So the key points we're going to discover today are number one, why walk? Well, it's what nature intended. Number two, walking shifts experience. Do you want a new level of understanding? Number three, have you forgotten your feet? Yes, most of us have. Number four, the freedom of walking. Please use it. Number five, pain and walking. The answer there is more glow, and that's possibly one of my favorite ideas ever. And the sixth key idea is walking to slow down and create. Let's start with a quote from Erling. He says, quote, "Before I got a family, I never wondered why walking was important. But the kids wanted answers. Why do we have to walk when it's faster to drive? Even adults had questions. What is the point of moving slowly from one place to another? Until now, I have tried the obvious explanation, the one you turn to because it's quick and easy, and the opposite of the essence of walking, which is slowness. I explain that he who walks lives longer. The memory sharpens, the blood pressure falls, your immune system gets stronger. But each time I said it, I knew it was only half the truth. To walk is something much bigger than a list of advantages you can read in an ad for vitamins. So what's the other half of this truth?" End quote. That's Erling Kagge from Walking. This note is a little different. This is not a book about how to walk or the physiology of walking. It's about the experience of walking. It's philosophy, not anatomy. My mother gave me Erling Kagge's book, Silence, for Christmas in 2018. And when she asked what I wanted in 2019, I asked for another of Erling's books, Walking. I walk every day. I walked 39 kilometers to celebrate my 39th birthday. I walked this morning with my girlfriend drinking coffee around the neighborhood. I walked yesterday in the morning and observed all the runners, poor biomechanics. Ha! I actually saw one man who was running really well. I wanted to give him a high five. I will walk this weekend and next, and I will walk every day because walking is a joy. Many of my clients would not need my help if they had a habit of walking daily. Not walking results in a series of biomechanical dysfunction, but it also results in psychological distress. I walk because I am human, and walking on two legs is what made me and our species who we are. I loved reading this book. It made me fall in love with walking a little bit more. It helped me to understand why I love walking. It also helped me to understand why others don't. Some people don't want to slow down. They love the race, and that's okay. That brings us to the first key idea, which is, why do we walk? Quote, "Homo sapiens didn't invent bipedalism. It was the other way around. Australopithecus, our forefathers, had already been walking for over 2 million years when our particular species came into being. Everything that we do today, that which separates us from other species, can be traced back to our origins of walking. The ability to walk, to put one foot in front of the other, invented us." End quote. We walk because it made us who we are. Without upright bipedal walking, there would never have been Homo sapiens. Quote, "If Homo sapiens had not been a walking species, we would have died out long ago, or lived much like other animals. We would have crawled around without the languages we have today." End quote. Walking defines us. It created us and continues to create us. And yet now many of us choose not to walk. This baffles me. You were not born on a bike or in a car. You were born in your body. Walking is the most natural way for you to move through the environment. Walking is less limited by the terrain. You can walk anywhere. If you're a good walker, you can go many places where cyclists and drivers cannot. Here's another quote. Quote, "If we walk less, we are no longer a species characterized by the fact that we walk, but rather by the fact that we sit and that we drive, end quote. A body that walks looks entirely different from a body that sits and drives. That body feels different too. Have you ever walked every day for a month or two? How did you feel? Have you ever been injured and unable to walk? Or have you simply made the choice not to walk? How does your body feel when walking is not part of its daily routine? If you have, like me, had periods in your life when you walked a lot and periods when you didn't, you know that it is the times when you are walking that life is better. That brings us to the second key idea, which is walking shifts experience. We're going to start with three quotes. The first one, quote, "And this is precisely the secret held by all those who go by foot. Life is prolonged when you walk. Walking expands time rather than collapses it," end quote. Number two, quote, "Walking, I can stop whenever I feel like it. Take a look around and continue on. It's small-scale anarchy. The thoughts that stream through my mind or the anxieties that I sense in my body shift and clear up as I walk," end quote. Quote, "When traveling, I only really feel at home in a new place once I've had the chance to see it on foot. If I'm in a city, I go up and down the streets. I'm letting my feet make maps," end quote. There is so much wisdom in that sentence. Understanding an environment comes from moving through it. Interacting with the world and moving through complex environments, alone or with others, wires our brains. Our thoughts and interactions create movement patterns. Our movements and the environment we move through shape our bodies. How is your environment shaping you? Are you being shaped by your stillness, by your lack of walking? How is your movement shaping you? What movements do you do? How is your environment shaping you? How are you shaping yourself through movement? Quote, "The great pleasure of walking in a city is to be among the people. For the entire duration of the walk, you are what social anthropologists call a participant and not merely an observer. The divisions between what you see and what you do get smaller," end quote. When trying to start her political career, a friend of mine walked her entire electorate and knocked on everyone's door. She won the seat. It had never been held by her party before. How many others had walked their entire electorate before? What would happen if politicians started walking through neighborhoods again, instead of jetting in and jetting out? How you interact with an environment is how you care for it. When flying overhead or racing past in a car, there is no connection, only a looking down or a looking out. Our politicians need to stop looking down. They need to walk with the people they serve. Only then can they begin to understand them. When there is no conversation, when there is no walking, there is no connection. Here's a quote. Quote, "What would happen if world leaders were forced to take daily walks among the people? For those who are in positions of great power, this can be complicated. A nice black car waits to pick them up. Those who are endowed with power separate themselves physically from the daily realities of everyone else. Or, in Kierkegaard's words, robbers and the elite agree on just one thing, living in hiding," end quote. Okay, so we're up to the third key idea, which is, have you forgotten your feet? Quote, "Your feet are your best friends. They tell you who you are. The feet are in dialogue with your eyes, nose, arms, torso, and with your emotions. This dialogue often takes place so fast that the mind is unable to keep up. Our feet help us proceed with precision. They can read the terrain and also what hits them from underneath the soles. They process each impression in order to take one step forward or one to the side," end quote. Your feet are your best friends, and yet you put them in stiff casts all day. You restrict their movement and you wonder why they hurt. Shoes cause the slow decline in our feet. Actually, it's shoes and really flat, unnatural surfaces. But anyway, shoes restrict movement of the feet, and slowly the tissues in our feet die. Blood flow dwindles, muscles atrophy, and our feet lose their sensitivity. The feet become weak because they can't move freely when they are in shoes all day. Imagine your feet if they had never been put in shoes. Imagine your life. Can you? Quote, I prefer to be barefoot. Though it's not as easy when you have a full-time job. I do this not only in consideration for my feet, to feel the wood, floor, the cement, carpets, grass, sand, muck and tarmac, or moss, pine needles and rocks. To feel the reflexes in each toe, the balls of my feet, heels and ankles improving. The skin on the bottom of my feet with its nerves and reflex points, points that are connected to the rest of my body, are able to come in closer contact with the ground. Just as the body requires sunlight, the skin loves to feel the wind, and the ears delight in the sound of birdsong. The feet are liberated in this way. Naked feet are more vulnerable. I have to pay attention so that I don't step on anything sharp or trip on something hard. End quote. Okay, so the next three quotes I have are all quotes about the feet from different authors. The first one is from Erwin LeCour from The Practice of Natural Movement. Quote, the shoe platform on which your feet are residing reduces the range of motion of your feet and ankles, preventing optimal positional control during movement. The shoe also encases your foot in a plastic cast that prevents natural motion. This reduces range of motion. Thick cushioning and exaggerated protection of the foot for prolonged periods softens the skin and weakens the bones and muscles of the feet, which eventually reduces foot function and makes them injury prone. Erwin LeCour from The Practice of Natural Movement. This next one is from Phil Maffetone from his book Fix Your Feet. Quote, cushioning is more commonplace in the popular expensive sports shoes. In a December 1997 issue of the British Journal of Sports Medicine, researchers Robbins and Wagt state, quote, expensive athletic shoes are deceptively advertised to safeguard well through cushioning impact, yet account for 123% greater injury frequency than the cheapest ones. End quote. That's Phil Maffetone from Fix Your Feet. And this last one is from Katie Bowman from Whole Body Barefoot. Quote, shoes are shaping the humans who wear them, and not for the better. This is why I am most interested in footwear. I deal with the injured public, individuals with head-to-toe ailments that they've been trying to remedy for years and for thousands of dollars, with little or no success, thwarted by what they put on their feet each morning and stomp around in all day. Well-intentioned folks go to the chiropractor's office, the spinal surgeon, and the podiatrist looking for answers to the wrong question. The question is not, how can I fix this, but what am I doing every day that creates this? That's Katie Bowman from Whole Body Barefoot. What are you doing every day that creates your pain? Maybe it's wearing shoes. Okay, so have you forgotten your feet? Is your habit of wearing stiff shoes, heeled shoes, or shoes that squish your toes together slowly hurting your feet? Are you engaging in a mild form of foot binding? Have you got a foot problem you want to fix? Are you asking yourself the right question? What are you doing every day that creates your problem? Do you need to take off your shoes? Make sure you transition your feet wisely into more and more foot movement. Your body can't run a marathon without training, and your feet can't all of a sudden be barefoot without training either. Regain your foot mobility and strengthen your feet. Your whole body will love you for it. I can't emphasize that point highly enough. Feet are the one part of everybody's body that are weak and stiff and need some work. Get into it. Okay, so that brings us to the next key idea, which is the freedom of walking. Quote, it's common to believe that people locked up in prisons are the ones who move the least, but it's not that simple. 3/4 of all English children spend less time outdoors than prison inmates of the same country. Every 5th child is largely indoors all day, and every 9th child has not set foot in a park, forest, or on a beach in the course of the entire year. Their time is spent indoors in front of a screen. End quote. Walking through a natural environment is what human bodies are designed for. We evolved in nature, and hence living and moving in nature is what creates our greatest levels of health. Bone density has decreased from the start of the agricultural revolution, and it's still decreasing. Children are moving less than prisoners. People are spending between 1 and 4 hours on their phones every day. If we replaced this phone time with walking, the world would be different. Put down your phone and go for a walk. And no, don't take your phone with you. Walking is our number one freedom, the ability to get up and go any direction we choose. Are you feeling free? Might you need to go for a nice long walk? Okay, we're churning through them. The next key idea is pain and walking. Quote, for Arne Naess, excuse me if I'm saying that incorrectly, it's spelled N-A-E-S-S, happiness has to do with glow, by which he meant fervor or passion and pain. He distinguished between bodily and mental pain. Like a philosopher with a grasp of mathematics, he devised his own equation for well-being. The first time I saw the equation, I had to read through the logic several times because it is as ingenious as it is simple and true. And you can look in the note to see that equation. It is W, well-being, equals G, glow, squared, over PB, which is pain in the body, plus PM, which is mental pain. So wellness equals well-being, G equals glow slash joy or fervor, P equals pain, B equals body, and M equals mental. Arne Naess emphasized that G can be increased to whatever exponent you wish. This gives the equation a rather optimistic quality. The equation assumes that a small increase in glow can outweigh a lot of pain. If you have very little glow for anything whatsoever, you will also experience little well-being, no matter how few inconveniences your life may suffer. Naess told me that he wanted to point out the meaning of pain, while simultaneously spoon-feeding that belief that it is more valuable to increase one's glow than to reduce one's pain. End quote. And I suggest you take another listen to that or read of that. I love that idea. The idea that, quote, it is more valuable to increase one's glow, aka one's joy, fervor, than to reduce one's pain. This is a lovely reminder for the next time I'm in pain, not to focus on doing all that I can to reduce my pain, but to do all that I can to increase my glow, to increase my gratitude, my joy, my enjoyment of life. I love this idea. It is potentially my favorite idea that I have ever talked about out of any of these books I've read. Go Erling Kagge. Okay, and the next key idea is walking to slow down. Quote, when I walk, my thoughts are set free, my blood circulates, and if I choose a faster pace, my body takes in more oxygen. My head clears. If my phone rings when I am sitting, I like to stand up and pace about as I speak. My memory, concentration, and mood improve after only a few steps. If you are in a bad mood, go for a walk, was Hippocrates' advice. And if you are still in a bad mood, go for another walk. The context is reflected in our language, motion and emotion, move and moved, end quote. Walking is a pleasure for the body and the soul. The blood can move, the muscles can move, the lymph can move, the nervous system connects with the tissues. When we move, we come alive. When we sit still, we slowly get stiff. The blood is not assisted by movement. Muscles disappear, lymph pools. The whole organism feels the stagnation. We call it depression. I call it a lack of movement, a lack of zest, or as Arne Naess would say, a lack of glow. Take Hippocrates' advice and go for a walk. And if you still feel bad, go for another walk, and another, and another. I have walked my way out of being sad and despondent more than once. Now I walk daily so I never feel the stagnation. Stand up and walk. Do it now. Pretty please. Okay, that brings us to the end of this awesome book. Walking by Erling Kagge. So Erling Kagge is an explorer who was the first in history to reach the three poles, North and South Pole, and the summit of Everest. He lives in Norway, where he works as a writer and a publisher, and you can find out more about him on Google. And of course, I'm the author of this note. You can find out more at mindandmovement.co.nz. And I hope you enjoyed the content of this note, but please remember that it is not medical advice and should not be used as such. I hope you'll have an awesome day, and I hope you get to go on a lovely, nice, long walk.